From His Fullness, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
We who are utterly empty, with nothing in us but sin and corruption, we receive from Jesus, this child, everything that He is as both God and man. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in Him.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size, year-end, tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2009.
Percent of evangelicals say they believe spiritual energy is located in mountains and trees. A similar number say they believe in astrology. And we see even higher figures among other Christian groups.
It sends a message again, lesbian Episcopalians, that there are no barriers to them in our church. In our church, we're open and receptive to people.
The lights are beautiful. We decorate our homes. We sing songs. We play the game dreidel.
The world is waiting for a proper deal here. We don't have time, and we have only this one world, you know. If it goes, we're all done.
We usually start out our Fridays trying to do what we have so much trouble doing through the rest of the week, and that's responding to our voluminous email here at Issues Etc. We not only hear from our listeners via email, but also the Issues Etc. comment line. We got a few comments to play for you on this Friday afternoon, December the 18th. Well, that comes after that. Pastor Bill Swirla will join us in the second hour of the program after we pick Issues Etc. blog of the week. We're going to talk about John the Baptist because John the Baptist is such a figure in Advent, really in the New Testament. He kicks off the New Testament, literally and figuratively. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of this Friday's program. Our call-in number, not only for these 2 hours, but for that last half hour when we invite you to call and vote for soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Remember those phone numbers and that email address. We'll play soundbite of the week in the last half hour of today's program. Jeff always reads the email. I could hear him before we came on the air practicing reading the email back in his office. The walls are very thin here at the LPR studio, so I could hear him. He wasn't actually trying to be that quiet, but I could hear all the email. It's kind of nice. I get to hear it in advance, even though I do read it before. It's nice to hear Jeff read it to me. It's kind of soothing, a little bit like, you know, having someone read you a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Are like you all ready?
A blithering idiot reading reading email. That's why I'm a producer. Yeah, we can hear, I'm two walls away, and I can hear Glenn Beck every morning being streamed by Craig.
Yeah, I can too, but that's because he pipes it in here on purpose.
That's true.
So if my speakers are on, I hear what Craig hears.
It's a very exciting day here at LPR. The new I Have Issues t-shirts, they've been in for about maybe 2 weeks, but none of us wanted to make the long journey over to Fenton, Missouri to pick them up. And so we did that today, and they are in.
Doesn't it seem strange to you that I live closest to Fenton? The two of you live, I mean, you're the farthest away from Fenton. You're as far away as you can get without leaving the state of Illinois or something like that. I live a lot closer, and I didn't pick those up. I mean, Fenton's only about a 25-minute drive for me from my house. It was probably, what, about an hour and 15 minutes from yours?
No, I think it was about maybe 50, 55 minutes. It wasn't too bad. I did get a drive by the headquarters for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I did honk and wave.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I got that sick feeling in my stomach. It's the closer I came to I was going to say bloody place, the Purple Palace. And but I haven't seen the place in a while. It hasn't changed much, at least from the outside.
No. I mean, hopefully there'll be some changes on the inside in the near future.
I'd set you up for that one. I was like, if you don't pick up on that one, buddy.
Well, you know, I guess when I go to eat sushi, I drive past it. There's a sushi place right down the street. It's really the only thing in the neighborhood that makes a trip over there worth it. But they're one of the best sushi places in St. Louis. Tokyo Sushi is just right down the street from the International Center. And since I am very fond of sushi, we go over there you know, whenever I feel like it, and I have to drive by. I just instruct my kids to avert their eyes, and you know, I'll say, "Don't look, children, you'll go blind." Something like that. Although they're not hung up on it like I am. So
what was the restaurant we went to that when we got
Denny's.
Fired? Denny's. That's
yeah,
right.
We went to Denny's, and remember we walked out without paying our bill, even though all we'd done was drink about 6 cups of coffee apiece. But we walked out without paying our bill, and the waitress was really, really nice to us. We explained to her we'd just been canned.
We're unemployed. She felt sorry. I think she would have let us not pay. I think she would have let us. She felt bad for us.
Yeah, I don't think coffee – I think their margin on coffee is pretty good. But, we paid anyway, even though we were both unemployed. Not anymore. I mean, that was a long time ago. You know, that was almost 2 years ago. We're getting close to 2 years ago that was.
Yeah, I guess so. In about, January, February, March? 3 more months?
Yeah.
About so 3 months? Actually, is today the 18th? It was March 18th, wasn't it, when we got fired?
I believe it was.
3 months from today. In three months, it'll be the 2 year mark.
So, what is it month wise anniversary? Craig, you're the numbers guy around here. 21 months? Thank you. I guess I should have been able to figure that one out. Well, we're celebrating an anniversary. We didn't even know it.
Wow.
My goodness. Let's celebrate with some email.
Hey, but speaking of anniversary, though, are we having an LPR Christmas party? I didn't get the memo on
that. No. No.
There's no Christmas party this year.
No. There's no bonus. There's no Christmas party. There are no gifts.
Well, I think Jeff and I talked about it. We're going to do pizza, and one day I'll pick up a six-pack, and that's our Christmas party.
That sounds like Friday to me. I mean, that sounds like a pretty typical Friday or Thursday, depending on when Craig gets his hankering for pizza.
There's a new bar across the street I've been dying to go to.
The
Red Bar.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. You know, Craig would go in there being a Collinsville native, and everybody's like, "Hey, Craig," kind of like Norm, you know, in Cheers.
Oh, yeah. He gets that everywhere he goes in Collinsville.
Yeah, and we'd just be like his entourage, you know, following the great Collinsville Craig around.
We are his entourage. When we're in his town, we're his entourage. So I think we are anyway. I mean, he does kind of basically run things around here. So
it's a great gig if you can get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, while you read email, I'm going to step over there and get my cell phone out of my jacket because I left it in there and I know the ringer's still on.
Okay, then. Let's see. This is Walker in Champaign, Illinois. I listened to your segment on teen sexting, and to be honest, I'm a little disappointed. You and your guests were right to point out that this is a dangerous practice that can have serious ramifications. However, with an issue such as this that can bring such strong damage to a teen and his or her family, I believe the gospel must be brought to bear as well as the law. I encourage you to take a closer look at Hope's story. Here's a link to the NBC story. Hope was a girl who had sexted somebody, and then ended up committing suicide, if I'm correct. Something that jumped out to me is that after this young woman had already endured a great deal of scorn from her peers, she had additional guilt heaped on her by adults. The school suspended her, and her parents grounded her after the word was out, and she was already undergoing serious taunting from her classmates. I know that I cannot know the entire story, but I have to wonder, did anyone remind Hope of the gospel? We do need to educate our teens about the danger of making poor choices with technology. However, for those that have already done such things, we need to proclaim the gospel message that they are forgiven loud and clear. Their peers will do a great job of bringing the shame of the law upon them. We adults need to do better. I understand that this was a short segment, and the gospel is preached regularly enough on your program that I know you understand the need for it. Thanks for all you do, and thank you for listening, Walker, in Champaign, Illinois.
Well, I think the only reason we probably didn't, and I mean, first of all, yes, it was an oversight on my part. I should have found a way to end the program talking about the forgiveness of sins, even for something like sexting, especially in the face of those tragic suicides. So that's an oversight on my part, and one that shouldn't happen. I mean, especially when we're talking about the tragic consequences of someone's shame over their sin. I think the reason we didn't, we were talking with Colleen Carol Campbell, if I'm not mistaken, during that segment. When we do those, we generally keep them kind of newsy for that. And then also, if I'm not mistaken, that was a pre-recorded. We usually pre-record Colleen because she's a mama and she has little babies that she talks when the babies sleep, and when the babies are awake, she doesn't talk. So, when we pre-record them, then sometimes they're a little tight in the segment and we don't leave time, unfortunately, to do that. Or I'm thinking about something else. So thank you very much for the reminder. I appreciate that kind of construction constructive criticism. We really appreciate all of it, for that matter.
All right, let's see. This is Stephen in Great Falls, Montana. I listened with interest to the recent segment on online gay marriage on my iPod, in which some gay rights activists want to allow homosexuals who live in a state that does not allow gay marriage to be married online in another state which allows gay marriage. I thought the way it was presented and phrased was interesting. They wanted to access the laws of one state online in order to regulate behavior which is essentially occurring in another state. While this may provide a quick fix to their problem, have they really thought through the implications of this philosophy of governing? For example, until recently here in Montana, there were no formal speed limits on the highways. The law was that to drive prudently for conditions. This led to some very fast, though legal, driving. Imagine if you, living there in Illinois, wanted to be allowed to drive fast by accessing the laws for highway driving in Montana. Imagine trying this line out on the judge. Your Honor, my speeding ticket should be dismissed because I access the laws of Montana and am regulating my behavior accordingly. I would be prepared to get out your checkbook if I were you. The illogic of justifying homosexual marriage is now being exceeded by its attempts to implement it. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Steve, in Great Falls, Montana.
I like the way he puts it. The illogic of trying to advocate for same-sex marriage is being outdone by attempts to implement it. That's a great way of thinking about it. In fact, one of the sound bites of the week that we picked out this week comes from Jennifer Roback Morrison. She is equally astounded at the gymnastics, legal and otherwise, that the advocates of same-sex marriage are willing to suggest or suggest we impose upon ourselves. It's really as though all of our laws, all of our government, all of our structure in the United States, even the U.S. Constitution, they think has to bend before their desire to have the gay lifestyle legitimated through same-sex marriage. Thanks for the email. More on the other side of this break.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Yeah!
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hey, Jeff, you're not doing your job. I actually used a non-existent word before we when we came out going into that break. See, if we were still at our old employer, That wouldn't have slipped by. I used the word legitimate as a verb. It's not a verb. Whenever I do this, I'm always like, is that a verb or an adverb or what is it? I went to my little dictionary and determined that there is no such word as legitimated was the word. And you should have caught it. You should have said, Wilkin, legitimated isn't a word. Our old employer, our old PD, he would have caught that. We would have had a meeting on that one. So keep your headphones on because I'm liable to say anything. You never know. I mean, even make up words right on the spot. One of the ways that our listeners love to communicate with us is the Issues Etc. comment line. It's just an answering machine. We make it sound so grand, but it's part of the tour. When people come into LPR studios, and we use the term studios in the plural, even though there's really only one studio, but makes it sound bigger. When they come into LPR studios, they get a tour of the control room, which is also the first room you walk into. And one of the things they get to see is the Issues Etc. comment line, which is an answering machine. Here's the phone number in case you want to call it 24 hours a day for your questions, comments, criticism. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. And you can leave a comment. I think the limit is 3 minutes on comments. Most people don't go over that. But if you want to leave all the way up to 3 minutes, that's fine. 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line. Here's something from it right now.
Calling concerning Bishop Hansen's remarks as found on last week's soundbite of the week. It occurs to me upon hearing these remarks that, we've talked much recently about the feminization of the church, and yet as I listen to Bishop Hansen, it's almost an androgynous message. There is no masculine here that could offend, nor is there anything feminine and beautiful and lovely that, quite frankly, is worth even dying for. Instead, you have a gospel without sexuality at all. It certainly isn't virile. And so on the one hand, it makes you shrink back listening to him. On the other hand, we know that the gospel still remains. It still goes forward. It still garners and brings about a people wherever it is proclaimed. And for that, we can give thanks to God and simply pray for Bishop Hansen's church and for all of us, that we continue lives of repentance where we flee from our own wills and find ourselves again in the hands of God who loves us and saves us through his Son.
Thank you very much for that comment. And it is true, the political correctness that now dictates the vocabulary of mainline liberal church leaders, it is worse than anything in journalism. It is worse than anything in academia. You will not find this kind of guarded language, this kind of mashed down, all the corners cut off, all of the sharp edges filed down. You will not find this kind of bland, boring, meaningless language coming from the mouth of even the most liberal professor at the average liberal university, politician, or journalist. But for some reason, in mainline liberal churches, their leaders, it's like they've swallowed the politically correct dictionary whole, and they can't make anything come out of their mouth that isn't contained therein. And it comes out boring. It comes out meaningless. It comes out as a lot of the runaround, which is precisely, I think, what is intended to be. And look, the worst part about it is not that it can bore your socks off and make your eyes glaze over. The worst part about it is to use this kind of vocabulary is to abandon biblical, scriptural vocabulary, which is full of all sorts of uncomfortable words, that the kind of words that church leaders ought to be familiar with. You know, there are other dictionaries that church leaders use too. I mean, when they abandon biblical language for the language of business or of marketing or of government. And then suddenly they start sounding like the bureaucrats they really are. I don't know which I find more disturbing. A bureaucrat whose blood runs with nothing but kind of the bureaucratic impulse in the church, who peppers his language with religious sounding words so that we think they're still talking about the church, which is kind of what Bishop Hansen does. Or the same kind of bureaucrat church leader who's given up on using anything that sounds remotely Christian and just sounds like a consultant from Wall Street or some sort of a government functionary. I don't know which one. At least one, you kind of know what you're getting when you hear them talk. The other, Bishop Hansen could fool someone into thinking that he actually is a churchman. He could. But they wouldn't have to listen long to have that illusion dispelled. But at first glance, you could mistake him for a churchman. True.
What were the conversation? What was the other buzzword that Bishop Hansen used? Do you remember?
Unity conversation.
I thought there was another C word.
It was.
I can't remember.
Community.
Community. Conversation, community. Okay. Now, we were pretty hard on him for using kind of postmodern language, continue the conversation. Let's talk about our own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have leaders throw out terms like law and gospel.
Oh, all the Lutheran
word
buzzwords.
And sacrament.
Yeah.
And the lay people hear it and they say, sounds Lutheran to me. But in practice, they don't preach law and gospel. They intend to grow the church not through word and sacrament. So, you know, it's you could have the postmodern way, or how would you describe what we see in our own church body where we hear leadership use the right terms, the right Lutheran terms, but in practice, I don't even know if they
well, that's what
interpret
I was,
them
that's
differently.
What,
or,
that's what I was just talking about. I was talking about, you know, Bishop Hansen, what he does is his vocabulary. His native language is no longer the language of Holy Scripture or of the Lutheran confessions. That's not his native language anymore. When he speaks that language, he is engaging in a foreign tongue. That is the mark of a church bureaucrat. When they lose the Bible and the Lutheran confessions as their native language, because they've also lost it as the way they think. If you don't think in a language, you're not going to speak in that language very comfortably. And what we have in our church body are basically company men, institution men who think of the church in institutional and company terms, but they're still savvy enough to toss in a few Lutheran buzzwords to make it sound like they still think like churchmen rather than company men. So they'll toss in word and sacrament. You ask them what they mean, they might not even be able to name the sacraments or explain what they are according to Scripture. They'll toss in law and gospel. They'll toss in other buzzwords. Of course, also with a healthy dose of things like missional and intentional and all the little words that make them feel so warm and fuzzy inside. I mean, if you're going to be a bureaucrat and a company man, just talk like a bureaucrat and a company man, and then we know exactly what it is you really think and what it is you're really saying. Drop the buzzwords. We don't need them. For the most part, they don't necessarily communicate anything at all. If you're going to say word and sacrament, then practice it. Then promote it. And I'm saying this to the leaders of our church. If you're going to throw word and sacrament in to make it sound Lutheran, why don't you just go all the way and be Lutheran? And promote that kind of thing. The real, solid preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments. If you're going to talk about law and gospel, then promote that kind of preaching and that interpretation of the Bible rather than how-to sermons and all this other stuff. If you're going to use the word confessional or confessions, really be what you say you are. And we'll know, by the way, because your Lutheranism won't be just a few buzzwords thrown in to otherwise very bland, boring, and bureaucratic speech. We'll know when your whole vocabulary and when what you promote and what you sanction, that is in the positive sense of the word, is genuinely Lutheran.
More email regarding Bishop Mark Hansen. So I was just listening to rebroadcasts of this program. It's funny because I was just commenting yesterday about the now very common use of the word conversation. This mode of honeyed dialogue is rampant among those bodies that have lost their way, whether it's the Episcopal Church or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But that's not the point of this email. When you, Todd, referred to his defense of the new ELCA position as blasphemous, I had to smile and say to myself, good boy. It's such a blessing to hear someone forcefully stand up for the faith. I am not a Lutheran. Actually, I was trained by the Jesuits and have remained a Catholic and will to the day I die. Speaking of the Jesuits, They have always been attacked for being casuist, maybe with some justification, but even the most dim-witted of them would make a better case than the Reverends Shorey and Hansen. Anyway, keep up the good work, and thanks for your witness, and thanks for the email, Steve.
Well, thank you. And I try not to use words here on the air purely for effect. I mean, words are powerful, and I try not to use them purely for effect. I try to mean what I say. And when I called Bishop Hansen's promotion of homosexuality in his church in the name of the mission of the church, in the name of Christ, in the name of the scriptures, in the name of the Lutheran confessions, blasphemous, it's because I couldn't think of any other word to use. If that isn't the dictionary definition of blasphemous, I don't know what is. What is blasphemy? It is an utterance or an action on the part of someone who doesn't fear God. Either they don't fear God because they don't acknowledge that God exists, or they think they can get away with mocking God. And that's precisely what the good bishop was doing, mocking God. We'll be right back. More email. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cupful if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The abortion industry is using marketing to sell abortion to women who in their hearts know it's wrong. An abortion mill chain in Michigan has a new promotional video set to soft, upbeat piano music. It's called Every Day Good Women Choose Abortion. Most of the video is an obvious attempt to persuade women abortion is good. The narrator even says, "We do sacred work that honors women." In an interview with the New York Times, the founder of the chain acknowledged the need to stand out in the crowd to get the attention of customers. She tries to create an attractive ambience with low light, aromatherapy, candles, and relaxing music. All the while, they're dismembering the mother's baby while smiling and telling her she's good and being true to herself.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, December the 18th, going through our email and responding to as much of it as we can fit in between what are essentially random thoughts. More email, Jeff?
Yes, this is from Gary in Canada. He sent us a nice Christmas card, as you can see.
Yeah, we love the cards, folks. We really do.
And Gary writes, Todd, Jeff, and Craig and families, Merry Christmas to you. As you hear and meditate and proclaim the Word incarnate who came as an infant and who will come again with glory to take us to our eternal home, please use this gift to buy pizza one Friday. And thank you, Gary, for the what's our petty cash up to nowadays? Our petty cash, Mr. Director of Business Operations. How much we got in petty cash?
Well, as I ponder it, there are a few singles in the drawer. Most of it we've used.
What drawer you do? Where are
what?
Drawers?
What,
do we have drawers
what
around here?
Petty cash for? What's going on here?
I thought I only had the only drawer in here.
No, I've got the file cabinet out here. That's where I keep it.
Okay.
I keep it in there.
Thanks for telling everybody where we're keeping our money, by the way. Well, want to give them the address, too?
Well, if they can beat
code to the alarm system.
If they can beat Laser Shield, then that's a whole other thing. But now, we've used petty cash for a couple of small purchases. I've used some of it for postage, and so we've got a few bucks left plus what the new card brought in. So we'll get lunch one day. We certainly appreciate the lunch gifts, though. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I mean, thanks for everything. If you just want to send a pizza, cut out the middleman, that's really easier. But, I mean, we're happy to take care of the ordering ourselves, too.
You know, if you are planning a Watergate break-in here at LPR, I suggest you use the front door, not the back door. Because the thing that the guy put on the back door, it's the loudest, shrieking sound.
I don't even know how to describe it.
Yes.
I just know that when it's one of those sounds, when it's going off, you can't not pay attention to it. And it's gone off so many times here. Virtually every time we've used the back door, we've set the thing off. Even though we think we know the code, I think there have been times when Jeff has resorted to taking the trash out to the dumpster via the front door rather than the back door because he just doesn't want to have to set it off again.
I think that thing was only like
$25. I know the ladies next door really, really appreciate it.
Right, the nails, et cetera.
Yeah, when they're over there, supposed to give some women over there the comforting spa treatment. Someone's over there with the scented candles and the hot stones and all the things that women love so much when they do their spa treatments. And then our alarm is going off in the middle of the day. I'm sure they just love us, besides the fact that we're constantly yelling and slamming doors and everything else that we do around here.
Here's Jim in Evansville, Indiana. I wonder how many Issues Etc. listeners are delegates for the 2010 Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention in Houston. I wonder how many may not have decided to run if it wasn't for the canceling of Issues Etc. at KFUO and the subsequent fallout. Thanks for the email, Jim.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we have no way of knowing. I do know that after the cancellation, and again, it's 21 months to the day. We didn't know that until we started the show. But at the time of the cancellation, there were a number of districts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I can't remember how many, a handful of districts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that actually put forth and passed, some with overwhelming majorities, proposals disapproving of the cancellation, asking why, giving thanks for Issues Etc. service to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for all those years, things like that. And I would hope that there will be a lot of Issues Etc. listeners going as delegates, lay and pastoral, to the 2010 convention. I'm hoping that a lot of them are. I wish we knew how many, but those are the kind of numbers we just don't have access to. Here's a suggestion for the show from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, I'm a regular listener, and I've always supported Issues Etc. I have a complaint, and I've had one before. This is the same one I've mentioned before, but it has to do with the length of the programming. I think you're creating Issues Etc. listeners to have attention deficit because of the length of your programs are so short. You can't discuss the topics in depth. And people really don't have the time to call up because by the time you get ready to make a phone call, the program is over. And I know you've had comments about this from one of your guests. I heard Pastor Swerla mention one time that he would like to discuss the topic in depth. So this is my complaint. I think you're mimicking what we see out in the world, and I think that you're doing the very thing you often criticize the church for doing. I think you're missing the boat. I really like the older programs that went in depth, and I even dreamt about it last night, and then I woke up and I realized that's not the way it is. I have to go back and listen to the archives if I want to listen to something more in-depth in general. And sometimes you have the pastor's roundtable, and that will discuss a topic in-depth. But that's my comment, and I would like to see a change. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. And that's the kind of – I don't know. Have we had – you field this a lot more than I do. Have we had a number of criticisms about the – tightening up the show. I mean, in terms of picking up the pace of the show compared to what it was like when we were at KFUO. Number one, we had 3 full hours a day, which caused us sometimes to, how should I put this? To milk a topic beyond its ability to be milked. Not always, but there were times when we did, and there were times when what should have been a 10-minute interview was a half-hour interview because you got 3 hours of airtime. I'm being honest with you, folks. You got 3 hours of airtime. Which is, by the way, the order of the day now at KFUO in their interviews, milking topics to the point where everyone's saying, all right, what are we still talking about this for? We are not in any way attempting to reinforce anyone's attention. We're trying to pack in as much as we can in the time we have. So now we have 2 hours. Now we have intentionally picked up the pace of the show. And part of that is, yes, a concession to the pace of radio in general. Believe me, if we were following the conventional wisdom of radio today, we wouldn't even be doing 12-minute interviews. We'd be doing 5-minute interviews. We'd be doing 3-minute spots with people. That's the conventional wisdom of radio today. So believe it or not, to the commenter from the, on the line, we are actually bucking the trend of talk radio really, really hard in keeping our segments as long as they are. And we have conversations about this on a daily basis. Is this a segment interview? Does this deserve 2 segments? Does this deserve an hour? And you can kind of see where we want, where we think a topic's priority lies with how much time we give it. Not that the things we talk about are unimportant, but there are some things that can be dealt with in 10 minutes. And not everything warrants a whole hour, 4 segments of a conversation. Now, a lot of these, I'm not trying to throw this off on Jeff, but a lot of these are kind of judgment calls on the producer's part. He determines, by and large, how long things are going to go. And so, generally speaking, and believe me, if it's really good, we keep the guest on. But we just want to keep the pace going a little faster, not trying to reduce anyone's attention. What are your thoughts, Jeff? Because you're the guy who actually makes the call on this.
We can't keep a guest on if the show's over with, though.
Well, that's true. If the show is over, we can't keep a guest. No, we could do bonus stuff afterwards.
We struggle with this. There are days I wish we had 3 hours. I wish we had 3 hours.
And then there are days.
There are days I wish we had an hour and a half. So I know exactly what she's talking about. A lot of people really like the Sunday night format where we did one topic for an hour, kept the guest over the second hour, and two hours, great topic, great guest. So you're going to get very in-depth on something like that.
But we should say that we were dealing with 100 affiliates, give or take, 10 at any given time, who deal with 100 affiliates nationwide and a California audience that was hearing us at, 8 o'clock in the evening. And so we could be virtually guaranteed of that second hour being nothing but phone calls. We generally would start that second hour when the topics were hot like that. We'd start the second hour with the phone lines completely lit, and we'd sometimes do nothing but just take phone calls for the second hour because we had 100 affiliates, all of which disappeared in one fell swoop. And I honestly don't think the people who canceled the show even knew that we had about 100 affiliates on that Sunday night show. They thought it's a St. Louis show. I think they honestly thought it was a St. Louis show. So that made the difference there. That Sunday night show format could be that. If we had 100 affiliates now for these 2 hours, we'd probably be doing something very similar most of the time.
I know exactly what she's saying. I mean, there are days I wish, Steve Hine interview the other day. It's like, oh, there's still some more things on repentance we could ask.
We could easily do an hour. We could have easily done an hour.
But Oral Roberts died. So we had to take half of the segment and lap over. We bring on Wayne House and Bob Lico, and that takes up the part of the Hine interview on repentance.
Well, and honestly,
down the line, maybe if we stream, had an independent stream or something, maybe we could go keep a guest over longer down the line. But like you said too, we need phone calls and interaction from listeners, as well. It gives you a lot more confidence to lap something over an extra hour or so, yeah, like you said, on the Sunday night show, because we knew the whole second hour had been phone calls and email from people across the country.
In a nutshell, this is something that we and I'm not exaggerating, on a daily basis, this is something we talk about giving a topic or a guest as much time as they warrant without going too far, without giving them too much, because airtime's precious, time's precious. When we come back, a little bit more email, and then blog of the week.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first time in the English language that the Lutheran Church has produced a study Bible to this extent.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain, with his thoughts on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
It's entirely from scratch, using all original content, features that every Christian will love and cherish. It has what I think is the most important thing of all, a rich devotional quality to it that helps us understand when we are reading the Word of God, we are reading the mind of God and hearing His Word for us, and we respond to Him and pray, praise, and thanksgiving all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are really excited about this Bible.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the new Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible. Still time for a little more listener email before we get to Blog of the Week and then an hour or two of Issues, etc. Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. We'll talk about John the Baptist, part of an emphasis for Advent, then Issues, etc., soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. One thing I wanted to add to the comment, to our answer to the comment before, and that is there is a general principle that I operate with, and I think Jeff operates with too, and we've done it for 10 years now, and that is it's always better to leave the listeners wanting more rather than leave them thinking that you were beating a horse that was either dead or near death. And you can do that with any topic. So it's always better to leave them wanting just a little bit more. I think we're leaving the commenter wanting a lot more. We'll try and find that balance. We really will. Because the listeners are what this is all about in the end.
We'd be remiss. This is our last final before Christmas vacation of listener email.
Oh, it is.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't tell the people about some of the great Christmas programming we've got coming up.
Oh, we do have some stuff.
We're going to be off from the 23rd, and we'll be back on the 4th, that Monday the 4th.
But that does not mean, due to the miracle of technology, that does not mean that our listeners can take a vacation or that they should, because it's going to be mostly, if not a majority, of completely original, unheard programs on great topics.
Of the 16 hours that we'll be playing, recorded, 11 are new hours. Some of the topics will be Dr. David Adams on Messianic prophecy, Athanasius on the Incarnation and Martin Luther on the Incarnation, the hymn A Great and Mighty Wonder with Pastor Will Whedon. We're going to do a hymn study with Pastor Paul McCain on From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, The First Christmas According to St. Luke with Dr. Arthur Just. And then we're also going to be doing a five-part series beginning on December 28th, 5 hours from 4 to 5 Central with Dr. John Seleska on the Book of Romans.
All original programming, all brand new, all unheard. Well, I've heard it because we've pre-recorded all but 2 hours, but except for the three guys in this room, no one else has heard them, or the guests. I guess they get to hear them too. I always say, people say, do you listen to your own show? And I say no, because it's all reruns to me. But it isn't for our listeners, and these are going to be great. So of the 16 hours that will be run of Issues Etc. during our little vacation over Christmas, 11 of them will be completely original and unheard.
In addition to Christmas classics like Dr. Ken Bailey on the first Christmas.
We're going to play that one again?
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
And the hymn study with Dr. Arthur Just from last year of The Father's Love Begotten. So some Christmas classics as well. Great time to tell your friends and relatives during the Christmas break to tune into Issues, etc. Here's an email from Florence in Fort Smith, Arkansas. So thankful for your guests and the ministry of Issues, etc. This has been one heck of a year here in Fort Smith. Hearing fellow Lutheran Christians is encouraging for both of us. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Florence in Arkansas.
We are happy to be an encouragement to you, Florence. And that's, I mean, we use the term lifeline, and we're still trying to work out how we're going to get lifeline into a liner. It will get in there somehow soon, after the first of the year, but we enjoy being the lifeline for so many who, either because of their church situation or their where they're located or what their pastor's like, feel like Issues, etc., can never substitute for a faithful pastor, faithful congregation, but can serve as a lifeline to people who really feel as though they need it. Here is one more from the Issues, etc. comment line.
Yes, this is Herman. It's Tuesday morning around 10. I do appreciate presentation by Pastor Thomas Eckstein yesterday. He was very well informed and very fluent in his statements. I would say that is a prime example of what you could call a biblical apologetic today with the issue of homosexuality. He was able, so to speak, to do it on his feet, and that's what it takes today to have all that information in the Word of God in the right order and to put it out effectively in terms of the concerns and the questions that people ask and the issues they have. I'm also going to add something to that example. Last year, I was at the Walter Conference at Concordia Seminary and spoke briefly to Pastor Matt Harrison. And I told him, you're going to need to really get adroit and up to speed on an apologetic from the Scriptures in the Missouri Synod to refute women's ordination. And just as ably as Pastor Eckstein handled the homosexual issue, I know there's a book out from Concordia. I have a copy of it on women's ordination. I think that certainly is a step in the right direction. And from the content in there that Pastor Harrison and Dr. Brighton and others put in, you're really going to need to craft a real good biblical apologetic to clarify that issue. I think that's really something that's been overlooked, and it's very needed. It's still a hot issue in world Lutheranism, and I think you're facing factors in the Missouri Synod that may want to advance it even there. So I think that that needs to be worked on. And I think, as Pastor Eckstein gave the example, the homosexual apologetic, we're going to need one on that. So that's just my thoughts. Appreciated. Always enjoy hearing Pastor Eckstein. He's very good with presenting the Scripture. Thank you very much.
Well, and thank you for your comment. And I think that Pastor Harrison, who hopefully will be in a position to do something about it, craft that apologetic, and God willing, from the president's office of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod after 2010, be able to not just sit idly by and say, well, we're not going to face that problem, but be prepared, because I agree. I think that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will, within the next 10 years, face a more concerted effort or an attempt to get it in some other way to ordain women. We're going to have to be ready with a biblical apologetic to respond to it. And I think Matt's precisely the kind of guy who could do that, either from the president's office or in present. He's actually, I think, one of the editors or contributors to that book on women's ordination. So thank you very much for the comment. Anyone can leave a comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. Criticism, praise, suggestions. We've had them all today. You can leave yours on the comment line as well.